Okay. So today we're going to, Mitzvah Hashem, be finishing up the course Sligya of Dash. And then tomorrow we're going to move over to Perek Chavis, where we're going to start learning up the Told of Dash of Schita. On Thursday, we were working on setting down the definition for Melachas Dash. We set down the basic definition was where you have Ochel and Psolus that are connected. Ochel is the stuff that I want, connected to stuff that I don't want, and I remove the Ochel from its connection to Psolus. That's the basic definition of Dash. So with the wheat kernel, when I separate the kernel from the chaff, kernel is what I want, the chaff is what I don't want, I'm removing the Ochel from its connection to Psolus. That's the basic definition of Dash. We have more sophisticated definitions which we'll invoke if necessary, but for now, that's the basic premise. Today, we're going to round out the course sugi of Dash by going through three possible qualifications to Melechas Dash.
When you say it like that, it sounds exactly like Boder.
So I'll tell you the truth. It really is kedai to learn Boder after Dash because there is an overlap and that needs analysis. Off the cuff, on a simple answer to that would be that Boder is where it's not connected anymore. Dash is where they're connected and you're breaking the connection. Boder is where they're not connected and they're just mixed together. That is not a complete answer. So I guess now's the time to plug for next summer. Yeah. We'll do Boder maybe? Fine. Okay. So three qualifications to Melechas Dash. Our first two qualifications are going to come out of analyzing the Gemara and Beitza on Yigimel Amabez. The Gemara there brings down the following incident. It tells us that the wives of Rav and Reb Chiya would peel for their husbands cupfuls of barley on Shabbos. Back in the day, they used to eat these raw kernels, these raw barley kernels, and there was some kind of psolus attached to the kernel, so their wives would peel off the psolus in order to prepare the food for their husbands. That's the Gemara there in Beitza on Yigimel Beis. And the big question becomes, how is this permissible? What happened to Melechas Dash? We just got through saying, when you remove Ochel from its connection to psolus, that's a violation of Dash. Well, if they're peeling barley kernels, why is that permissible? What happened to Melechas Dash? And aside from the internal logical difficulty with this Gemara, there's a type of stira of sorts that Tosis there points out on Yigimel Amud Beis. Because Tosis points out there's a Gemara one daf earlier in Beitza, which has a very similar case where there is taka problem of Melechas Dash. What's the case one daf earlier? So the Gemara there on Yabezim and Bezim Beitza is discussing Melila. Melila is where you take a wheat stalk and you rub the stalk in your hands to release the kernels. Again, back in the day where they would eat these raw kernels, so they would do melila, they would take a stalk, they'd rub the stalk to release the kernel, and that was a practice that they did. Says the Gemara that melila is asr on Shabbos. Why is it asr on Shabbos? It fits under Melechas Dash. It might end up being a derabbanan, it might not be a normal way of doing Dash, but it definitely fits under the scope of Melechas Dash. It is asr to do on Shabbos. So now Tosas says, we now have a stira on Gemaras. On the one hand, you're telling me that melila is a problem of Dash, that rubbing the stalk to release the kernel is a problem of Dash. Yet one daf later, you're telling me that peeling the barley kernel, peeling the psolus off the barley kernel is permissible. What is the distinction between these two cases? So we have an internal kashas stamazoi, why is it mutter to peel a barley without the Dash? And now there's a stira, why is this different than melila, which is a problem of Dash, why is peeling the barley permissible? Those are the kashas on this Gemara. Fine. So we have two basic approaches in the Rishonim for how to deal with this issue. First approach will be the Shita of Tosos. Second approach will be the Shita of Rashi. Each of these approaches are going to set down different qualifications to Dash. Ultimately, we have to explain that Dash is not going to apply in this case for some reason or other. And so that's what we're calling qualifications 1 and 2. Each approach will be setting down their own respective qualifications to Dash. Fine. So let's start with the Shita of Tosos. Tosos says that the distinction between these two cases, again, this is Tosa there in Beitza Yigimel, the distinction between these two cases is in terms of the Cheftza of Psolus. That when it comes to the case of Melila, there the kernel is in the stalk. It's in the original chaff, which is embedded in the stalk itself. It says Tosus that removing that type of Psolus, removing the stalk, separating the stalk from the kernel, that is a classic example of Melechas Dash. That's why Melila is subject to Dash, because there we're talking about separating the kernel from the stalk itself. In contrast to that, says Tosos, when it comes to the case of peeling barley on Daf Gimel with Rav and Reb Chiya, so there we're going to make a new kimta on the case. The case is not where you're separating the kernel from the stalk itself. That was already done before Shabbos. Before Shabbos, you took the kernel out of the stalk. But says Tosos, even after the kernel is taken out of the stalk, there still is a peel around the kernel, which is a type of psolus, and that was what they were removing. They were peeling off this internal peel around the barley kernel. That was permissible on Shabbos. So that is Tosas' distinction. In terms of the chefs of psolus, when it comes to the stalk, removing that is a problem of malachas dash. That's the case of malila. But if you took the kernel out of the stalk, and there's just a peel around the kernel, peeling that off is not a problem of malachas dash. Now, the question becomes, what's the basis for distinction? Why are we now limiting dash to a certain chefs of psolus? Why is it limited to a stalk? Why is it not applying to the peel around the kernel? That's the question on Tosfos. So I saw Rav Asher Weiss in the Minchas Asher. He wants to explain this Tosfos based on a very important psak of Rav Moshe in the Igros Moshe. So let's just spell out Rav Moshe's psak, and we'll show how Rav Asher Weiss wanted to plug that into Tosfos. I put in the Mar Makomos the Igros Moshe in Or Chaim Chelek Aleph Chof Hei, where Rav Moshe sits down, which is probably the most halacha l'maisa limitation to Malachas Dash. It's going to almost knock Malachas Dash off the charts in terms of being halacha l'maisa, that we're going to, Shechita will be halacha l'maisa, but Dash is almost not halacha l'maisa because of this psak of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says that Malachas Dash is limited to removing psolus that's typically removed out in the field. Out in the field, when you're harvesting the produce, there are certain forms of psolus that are typically removed out in the field when you're processing the produce. That's subject to malachas dash. If you remove that on Shabbos, that'll be a problem of malachas dash. But Rav Moshe says that if you have psolus that is typically left on food until right before you're about to eat it, right before you eat it, so that's when you typically remove this psolus, that is excluded from malachas dash. That is Rav Moshe's major qualification to dash. It's limited to psolus that's typically removed out in the field, and it only applies to psolus, I'm sorry, it does not apply to psolus that's typically left on the food till you're about to eat it. And so this Rav Moshe is why there's no dash in many day-to-day activities that we do on Shabbos that should be an issue of dash become permissible based on Rav Moshe. For example, peeling an orange. How can you peel an orange or a banana on Shabbos? What happened to malachas dash? I'm removing psolus from its connection to ochel. I'm removing ochel from its connection to psolus. Why is that not a problem of malachas dash? You know, cracking nuts. A lot of things that we do on Shabbos, day-to-day activities, should be an issue of dash. But based on Rav Moshe, they're all permissible because these are all forms of psolus that are typically left on the food until right before you're about to eat it. You don't remove the orange peel out in the field, you remove it right before you're about to eat it, the banana peel, etc. Therefore, they were all excluded from malachas dash based on this qualification of Rav Moshe. So, this, you know, since by definition, we're, you know, in our society where everything is, we're buying it from the store, so almost anything you buy from the store, by definition, is a form of psolus that's left on until you're about to eat it. So, Rav Moshe basically just knocked malachas dash off the charts. There are a few issues, there are a few shilas, a few cases where there are potential issues, but derech klal, because of this remotion, a lot of things become permissible. Says Rav Asher Weiss, that's from the pshat in Tosfos. Tosfos is making a chilek between the wheat stalk, which is a problem of dash, but the kernel around the barley is not a problem of dash. What's the distinction? So Rav Asher Weiss says that it's going to be based on this qualification of Rav Moshe, that when it comes to the wheat stalk, so that certainly is a form of psolus that's typically removed out in the field. You know, that's the original form of malachas dash, that when you cut down the wheat stalk, so when you're processing the wheat stalk out in the field, you remove the kernel from the stalk, and so that is a classical example of malachas dash. If you would do that on Shabbos, that's a problem of dash. On the other hand, says Rav Asher Weiss, that when it comes to the barley kernels, where the kernels that were already removed from the stalk, but has this internal peel, so back in the day when they used to eat raw kernels, they would leave on that internal peel till right before they would eat it, just like we leave on an orange peel. So back in the day when they would pop and eat these raw kernels, they would leave on the internal peel before they were about to eat it, and therefore removing that would not be a problem of malachas dash, based on Rav Moshe's heter, so that would be permissible, would not be an issue of dash. So this is all shita number one, the shita of Tosfos. How do we explain why it's mutter to peel this barley on Shabbos? Why is it not subject to dash? Why is it different than malila? The answer is, in terms of the chefs of psolos, we're limiting dosh to a stalk, not to this peel around the barley, which Rav Asher Weiss is saying is based on Rav Moshe's heter, that dosh is limited to psolos that is typically removed out in the field, doesn't apply to psolos just left on the food till you're about to eat it. Fine. So that is qualification, that approach number one, which would be qualification number one. Fine. Our second approach is the shita of Rashi. Rashi is not going to be able to give the approach of Tosos to answer this kasha in Beitza. And that is because, as Tosos already points out, Rashi there says the case on the Yigimel Beis with peeling the barley is where you're peeling off the stalk itself, that the barley is still in the stalk. It was not removed from the stalk before Shabbos. And the peeling is not the internal peel. You're peeling off the stalk from the barley kernels. That's what Rashi says there on Yigimel Beis. So Tosis' solution is not going to work for Rashi. Tosis' whole answer was that we took it out of the stalk, it's just the internal peel. Well, Rashi says that it's still in the stalk, and yet that's still permissible. So Hajar Kashal Duchta now, so now we're back to the original question. So how's Rashi going to now explain why there's no dosh in this case? How do we distinguish between this case and Malila? By Malila, where you're rubbing the wheat stalk to release the kernel was a problem of dosh. Yet here, when you're peeling the barley stalk to take off the stalk, that's not a problem of dosh. What is the distinction? So anyone want to try to help us out now, give us a shot for Rashi. How is Rashi going to limit dosh? How is he going to distinguish between the case of Malila and the case of peeling the barley? Okay. Not everybody wants. So there's a sefer on Maseches Beitza called Simchas Yontov, and he gives a very straightforward explanation for Rashi, which is really a karachach. He says that, like this, that as opposed to Tosos, who's making a chiluk in terms of the cheftza of psolas, he's limiting dash to a certain type of cheftza, Rashi is going to make a chiluk in terms of the maisa of dash. Rashi is going to hold that Malachas dash is limited to a certain type of activity, and it doesn't apply to other types of activities. So when it comes to the Malila, what was the maisa in that situation? What was the activity? You're rubbing. You're rubbing the stalk to release the kernel. That was the case of Malila. Says the Simchas Yamtov and Rashi that that's going to be subject to Malachas Dash. When you apply pressure, when you apply a lachatz to extract the ochel, that'll be a problem of Malachas Dash. On the other hand, when it comes to the case of peeling the barley, so in that case, we're not doing an act of Malila, we're not rubbing it, we're not applying a pressure, we're just peeling off the psoles. The activity of peeling is going to be excluded from Malachas Dash. So that is now shita number two, the approach of Rashi. Rashi is going to distinguish not in terms of the chevtza, but in terms of the maisa. That in these two cases, there's a different type of maisa. Malila, you're applying lachat, you're applying a pressure to release the ochel. That is a problem of dash. When it comes to peeling, you're not applying a pressure, you're not breaking it open, you're just peeling off the psoles. That's going to be excluded from malachas dash. So these are the basic facts on the ground. Let's chaz of the facts. Then we'll stop for questions, and then we'll start the conceptual analysis. We're kicking off today's shiur. We're trying to figure out different qualifications to Malachas Dash. So Gemara here told us he Yigimel Beis that it's mutter to peel barley on Shabbos. The question became, what happened to Dash? Why is this different than Melila? Two basic approaches. Tosfos, based on Rav Asher Weiss and Rav Moshe, is saying that there's a chiluk in terms of the chefs of Psoles. It's only a problem by the stalk, not by the barley, the internal peel of the barley, which because Dash only applies out in the field, not to stuff that we're peeling off in our house. And the second approach is the Shita of Rashi. Rashi says really the case is where you're permitted to peel the barley stalk itself off the barley. What then is the chiluk in terms of the maisa? That dash applies to a maisa of applying pressure. It doesn't apply to a maisa of peeling. Okay, let's start. Any questions? Yeah.
I have two questions.
Okay, go for it.
In terms of Tosos, the being machalic between getting rid of what dash is done in the field versus the internal thing, wouldn't it be just the opposite? I mean, in the field would be more of like a derech arai, so therefore there would be...
So, Mertz, we're going to conceptualize it, but Hanani's question will force us to give a conceptual analysis of Tosos Shita. Good, fine.
Okay. Also, according to Rashi, why would there be a difference between the lila and being kol if something when both of them are be'etzim getting rid of the psoas?
Good. Hanani's second question will force us to conceptualize Shita's Rashi. Good. You're asking what's pshat. These are just facts. What? We don't stop at the facts in this year. Yeah. It is the way you do. We're trying to develop more of an understanding of that, though. Yeah, Anachnami. Good. Good. Any other questions? Yeah.
Can I just repeat why there's a difference between pressure and not pressure?
We're not saying why. We're just saying there is a chilek. By melila, you're robbing it to release the stock. Here you're peeling. So, says the simplest yom tov, that has to be the chilek. That robbing is a problem. Peeling's not a problem. If you're asking why, so we have to figure out why. But that's the chilek that's being made. Okay. Fine, so let's start the conceptual analysis. I see that we're starting to slowly brainwash the chevra. In the morning, I'm hearing people working on the conceptual analysis. So that's what you're supposed to be doing. That's why, if you're in the shir long enough, the marmakomas become longer than you realize. Because after you finish all the facts, you start realizing that it's always facts, lumnus. What's the conceptual basis for what's going on? So, okay. So let's start. So what's the conceptual basis for the shita of Tosos? What's the conceptual basis for the shita of Rashi? So let's do it one at a time. Tosfos, fine. So Tosfos, based on Rav Moshe, based on Rav Asher Weiss, is telling us that Melechus Dash is limited to psolas that's removed out in the field, and it doesn't apply to psolas that's left on the food until it's about to be eaten. And the question is, what's the lumdis behind this qualification? What's the conceptual basis for limiting Dash to out in the field and to allowing Dash to take place, so to speak, in your house? What's the chilek? So anyone want to give us a conceptual analysis of this qualification of Tosis? Where is this coming from? Yeah.
By Achila, we always say it's different. Right? You could do, maybe there's always a certain type of heter by Achila.
Okay, but what if it's not miyad? What if it's not miyad, right? It's not right before I'm going to eat it.
Because it's derech Achila.
It's derech Achila? I'm saying, what if I find a case that it's not right before I eat it, though?
Then it's usher.
Not according to Rav Moshe. You could peel an orange peel, barring borer. We're not doing borer, so unfortunately, we can't have a full halacha maisa. But in terms of melachas dash, according to Rav Moshe, you could peel it off 5 hours before.
The orange is a funny example because it's impossible to eat an orange without peeling it. Meaning it's not
you can cut it in half, I guess, but you probably cut it in half.
Yes. Then you have to take the.
You take it out. I mean.
Okay.
Show and tell. Okay. Yeah.
The normal way of.
The normal way of eating. So it's getting to what Miles is saying.
Even if it's not in order to eat it right away, that is what the action itself is associated with eating.
Okay, it's a mahalach. It's a mahalach. I'm worried. It's a little risky, but yeah.
It sounds like what we were basically saying for every single halacha about whether or not it's part of siduri the pas.
So that's the methodology we're gonna head. Let's build off of that. I'm saying. Just to reinforce what Eli is telling us, we had a very similar model by Ma'amer. If you remember, we had a shita by Ma'amer that limited Ma'amer to Makom Gidulo. The Ma'amer only applies out in the field, and doesn't apply in other locations. So if you remember, we took that as a reflection of a certain lumdis in Ma'amer. If you're limiting Ma'amer to out in the field, it's giving us a certain insight into how Ma'amer works. So we have a similar case here. We're limiting Dash to out in the field, as Ellie's pointing out, Sidur de Paz, and we need to now turn that into alumnus in Dash. So what does that tell us about Malachas Dash? It's a similar model to Ma'amr, if you remember we did by Ma'amr. So just, can we build off of what Ellie's telling us here?
It's the next thing in the order.
Yeah, okay, fine. I think that's as good as...
Probably the same as she touched with Rashi.
It could be. Okay, fine. I think everyone's basically saying it. It goes like this. The Aruch HaShabbos says this is a very beautiful explanation for... This heter, the Aruch HaShabbos, gives this lumnus to explain Rav Moshe. It says like this. The question is going to be, what's the fundamental yesod of Melechus Dash? What's the real productive accomplishment in Melechus Dash? So we had on Thursday our basic definitions to Dash, removing Ochel from its connection to Psoles, some other more sophisticated Pshatim, but whatever it was, those were our definitions for Dash. What's the real yesod of this Melechus? So you could totally stop right there. There's nothing wrong with saying removing Ochel from its connection to Psoles. In other words, sanitizing. You're sanitizing, you're purifying the Ochel. That certainly is very productive. There's no need necessarily to go deeper. And whoever doesn't work with this qualification, Shita's Rashi, Rashi's arguing on Tosfos, so he's going to hold. Yeah, sanitizing, purifying the Ochel, that's the productive accomplishment of Melechus Dash. Says the Aruch HaShabbos, Tosfos is going to hold that there's a much deeper significance to Melechus Dash. It's not just about sanitizing the ochel. There's a certain specific accomplishment in this malacha which defines this malacha. And that is, it's going to be about converting raw material into a cheftza of ochel. That's going to be the yisod of malachas tash. It's about processing and converting raw material into a shem pri, into a cheftza of ochel. See, when you have a wheat stalk that's growing in the ground, the wheat stalk has the potential to be an ochel, but can you really call the wheat stalk right now a cheftza of ochel? Would you say it's really right now a piece of food? It's attached to the ground. It's got tons of psolus on it. It's not really a chevtza of ochel. It's raw material. It's got the potential, but it's not actually actualized. As we now engage in the next few malachas, kotzer, ma'amer, and dash, we're processing the wheat stalk. We're converting it into a chevtza of ochel. We cut it from the ground. We gather it together. And then we do dash. Dash is where we take off that psolus in the field. When you take off that psolus, you're converting it into a chevtza of ochel. And now it has a shem pri. It has a status of being an ochel, a status of being a food. That's the really yisod of malachas dash. If that's the yisod of malachas dash, it's about converting and processing this raw material to make it into a chevtza of ochel, so that's going to explain where the whole field qualification comes in. Because all the psolus that's typically removed in the field is the real fundamental psolus that stops this from being called a piece of food. You don't call this a piece of food when it's still in a wheat stalk. When you have all that original psolus that's from the original harvest still on the food, that's not called a chevtza of ochel. But once you remove all that psolus out in the field, and you just have some remaining psolus which you leave to right before you eat, that doesn't take away from the fact that this is a chevtza of ochel. An orange, a banana, it's still a chevtza of ochel despite the fact that it has a peel. Why do they leave the peel on it? Because it's a shomer lepri, it's a casing to protect the orange. If you took the peel off out in the field, the orange would spoil, the banana would spoil. Typically, the psolus that's left on till right before you eat it is servicing the food. It doesn't take away from the shem pri, it doesn't take away from the fact that it's a chevtza of ochel. It's still a chevtza of ochel, it's a special shomer, it's a special casing to protect the food. So that's the lumness behind Rav Moshe's qualification. Why are we limiting dash to out in the field? Why doesn't it apply to an orange peel? The answer is because dash is not just about purifying or sanitizing. Dash is about finishing, completing the formation of a chevtz of ochel. The psolas out in the field is a type of psolas that is ma'akev, that prevents us from calling this a piece of food. Once you remove the psolus from out in the field, it's now called the chevtza of ochel. An orange is an ochel, a banana is an ochel. We just leave the peel on to protect the food so it doesn't spoil. So that's the lumness behind the shita of Tosfos. Yeah.
So you would say that even though you're saying that you're converting raw material to a chevtza, you're converting raw material to a chevtza, to a chila, that already happens in the field.
The psolus that's removed in the field is representative of the type of substances that prevent us from calling this food. It's not called food yet when it's in a wheat stalk.
I'm peeling orange right before eating. I'm making it into a chila right now.
No, you're making it ready for a quick eating right now. But an orange is still called an ochel. An orange is still called the chevtza of ochel with the peel on it. It's still called food.
So would Tosis Rid say you can be chayv again right before you eat it?
According to Tosis?
But
was it the mat? We're in. We're in, what?
Yeah,
has it played into dash though?
Because in the
senior
shall pass.
Okay, but again, but we're in dash. So according to Rav Moshe, there's no dash right now when you peel the orange.
Yeah, I'm saying according to Tosfos, you're only chayv one time in the field. Right?
According to Tosfos, you're chayv on the type of psolus that's removed in the field.
So would anyone say you're chayv again right before you eat because it's not about?
For an orange peel or for a wheat stalk?
Say orange peel.
Orange peel is excluded from dash. Because it's not called, it's still called an ochel with the peel on it.
In the field, it's also called ochel?
Yeah, even if you peel the orange in the field, it's fine. If there's that leaf stuff that's on the Tropicana thing, you know, if you take that off, so that's already probably not called, and that would be dash. Now that's removed out in the field. You don't typically see that in the store. So that if you pick up that leafy stuff, so that would be a problem of dash. Wherever you do it, before you eat in the field, it's not a question of when you do it, it's a question of what is being removed. What type of chevtza is being removed? If you saw the leafy stuff in the orange, it's not called a processed orange yet. It hasn't been fully processed yet.
But you're trying to say it becomes a
chevtza
of ochel in the field.
It's called food when the psolus that's removed in the field is removed. We call it food at that point. When it's still in the ground and has stalk, you know, we don't call it wheat. It's in the stalk, in the ground. It's not called food yet. It's potential. It has the ability to be food.
Before you eat it, it's already been converted.
After you go through the malachas of kotzer and dash, and you cut it from the ground, and you remove all the the chaff, so then we call it, it's called the food right now.
Okay, so one more time, because I feel like I'm not getting a straight answer. I eat an orange right before I eat it.
Make a bracha and enjoy.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's converting raw material to tefillah. If I'm not doing that before I eat it, even outside the field, right? That's the definition. Are you not doing that right before you eat it?
It's an abstract idea. We're saying that an orange is still called a food, even with the peel on it. It's called a food. It's called an ochel.
Okay.
The reason you leave the peel is just to protect it.
Right.
So it's called an ochel right now.
So don't use an orange as an example. That you already said that's a kind of a bad example.
So give me another example.
I don't know. You said the definition is converting raw material
into a chavetz of ochel.
Are you not able to do that even before you eat it?
Of course you can. Anything you find, if you take a wheat stalk and you're gonna eat it right before you eat it, it's a problem of dash.
Because
the mice, this is typically removed out in the field. You don't go to Seasons and buy wheat stalks. You go to Seasons and you buy flour. So if you take a wheat stalk home and you, whatever, I don't know what's going on in Atlanta, but in New York we don't do this.
You know?
Right. Ellie.
According to Aruch to Shabbos, is he saying that the Yisurim of Dash stop once it gets to Shem Ochel?
Yes.
Or once you reach the layer that only serves as a protective layer?
They're Hein Hach, but it's the first one's the official definition.
For example, like peanuts or pistachios.
Peanuts is a huge hack.
Pistachios?
If you get specific, I don't. You have to go through the examples. That's what I'm saying. Based on Rav Moshe, most Dash doesn't apply anymore, because usually if you buy it in the store, it's fully processed. You know what I'm saying? Like, in our societies,
but
if you're...
Like they sell pre...
Right.
So
that's exactly in Achanami. That's where the hack on peanuts becomes. Because if they sell pre-shelled peanuts, so then maybe we have to call shelling a process that's done in the field. So that's exactly why peanuts is a hack in Achanami. So that's the pressure point on the Rav Moshe. If we start finding things that are sold, you know, more processed now, so then maybe the less processed version would be a problem of dash.
Less processed, meaning, so if we're just understanding it as being a shem ochel, so long as they're selling both of them in gourmet guat, then right, gourmet guat's a chashuv place. They're not going to sell anything that doesn't have a shem ochel to it. But if it has to do with it being a protective layer, then in a hanami. So
no, the shem ochel is a function of, you know, when is this called fully processed? When is it called done in the field and just ready for it to be sold? So if peanuts are considered to be done before they're shelled, so then shelling it, you know, that's it's already called the food. But if peanuts are typically shelled, so then that's called part of the processing. That's for the complication on peanuts. But in a chanami.
Like,
dice is not, that doesn't count. It's more the psolos that's removed. And in a, this is
if
the...
If we're a weak generation and we are lazy to peel the nut, it shouldn't matter what
we... These are the issues that have to be addressed in terms of the mamish, the halacha ma'aseh, but that's something typically... Most dash has been knocked out because of Rav Moshe. There are a few of these issues that remain. So what do you define, the draw the line? These are good questions, but that's the basic psak halacha on dash. Yeah.
I just want to clarify one thing. I'm trying one more time. The conversion process happens in the field.
Let me just give you a mashal. Does anyone here know when you become chayv in trumas and maizros? When I take something off the ground, when I harvest stuff from the ground, am I chayv in trumas and maizros then?
When you bring it to your house.
When I bring it to my house, right? So I'm not chayiv. Why am I not chayiv when it's out in the field? You know why?
It's not
called ochel yet. It's not called process. It's not called, you're not nigmar malachto. That's pshat. Once I pile it up, I do miruach, or whatever, I do disha, I thresh it, I pile it up, it's called process, and now it becomes chayiv and trumas and maizros. It's not yet an ochel yet. But it's still, you know, it's just piled up. It's not, it's got a shell on it, it's got a peel on it. It's called an ochel. It's called process. Once you cut it off the ground, then you made a pile and you did the disha. Might be disha's relative for hilchas, trumas, and maestros. You may have to thresh it. Once you do that, it's called an ochel now. Once it's called an ochel, so now you're chayv trumas and maestros. I'm just giving you a mashal to appreciate this idea that, yes, to me, an orange is not edible until I take the peel off. But in terms of halachic categories, the peel is not ma'akev calling this an ochel. An orange is called an ochel, it's chayv trumas and maestros even with the peel. When it's out in the field and it's not yet gathered and piled up, etc., so then it's not even called an ochel yet. Once you pile it up, once you gather it, you finish processing it out in the field, it's called an ochel. Yeah.
So the free tosos, if I would take off the protective shell in the field, would I be hired?
No.
Meiser?
It'd be personally... Meiser?
Yeah.
Meiser, I'm just giving this a mashal, so you have to compare and contrast that. Our Gemara and Beitza is the intersection of Truma Meiser and Shabbos, so there is... It's a good question, but But if you, in terms of al chatash, you wouldn't be chayiv out in the field. It's not a question of where you do it; it's what's being removed. So let's continue on. Fine. So now we come to the shita of Rashi. The question is, what's the shita of Rashi? Again, Rashi is limiting dash to a certain type of maisa, a certain type of activity. That dash only applies to where you're applying a certain pressure to break it open, like malila. It doesn't apply when you're peeling off the psolet. The question is, what's the lumness behind the shita of Rashi? So anyone want to help us out now and give us a conceptual basis? Where is Rashi coming from? Why should we limit dash to rubbing it and applying pressure? Why isn't peeling also subject to dash? Yair.
It's all about the action. It doesn't matter.
Why is it about the action? Meaning, what was Rashi's concept of dash such that a certain activity... I mean, you could stop there, just make it a formal limitation, but we're trying to give a little more of a conception behind it. So what's Rashi's concept in dash that he has to be breaking it open as opposed to just peeling off the psoas?
Sequence?
See, how does that help us?
Because when you're just practicing, I know we said before in terms of the act of being in the field, but I think that's pretty applicable. When you're in the field, you're doing a very specific act of separating the kernel from the stalk.
But in the field, I could.
Fully in the field,
but in the field, I could peel it, or I could do malila.
You're not. You don't. No one. I don't think fully prepares the kernel in the field itself. I'm assuming that's what Rashi would be holding.
But out in the I'm saying out in the field, you know, typically you trample it. You typically do dash by trampling it to break it apart. That's a certain pressure. But you could peel it in the field also if you wanted to.
That's what I'm saying. He's saying that there's a limit. There's a certain act that people don't do in the field. It's not part of the.
Okay, it's mahalach. We're trying to can we do a little more. Yeah.
Is it a chetzegaver thing?
We did chetzegaver a lot last year in sukkah, but this year it didn't come up so much. He's definitely doing a gaver. I mean, he's limiting the gaver, the maisa. We're in the maisa, but the question is if we can give a basis for it. Yeah.
Because you're using pressure, it shows, since you acquire more action, it acquires force, it's showing that it's not yet awful.
Okay, so that's what along the lines Yosef was trying to say. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just, yeah, Miles.
There's two ishitasus that you could maybe say.
Go for it.
It has not shaitas to see yourself house.
Or
the, when you apply pressure, that's the final form of what you want it to be. If you just peel it, I guess that's not the.
I'm looking for a third lishitasa.
I have to go back to the
one. Okay, fine. So let's go back to Rashi's definition of melachas dash from Thursday. If you guys remember, we made a shirach between my daughter and Yair. Yair and Thursday, but afterwards Yair realized that he... You have a son, you said?
Do I have a son?
Yeah. Fine. So I'll have to figure something out. But Yair gave us a definition to a melachas dash for Shitas Rashi, which... To use the way Rapanus explained, that Rashi himself has is to disgorge. According to Rashi, dash is where you're disgorging, you're expelling the ochel from the psolas. That was Rashi's. Rashi himself says the word disgorge. He gave us his definition to dash, where you're expelling the ochel from the psolas. So Rashi seems to be understanding that in line with this idea that dash is about unloading, it's about expelling the ochel from the psolas, you need to be applying pressure for us to view it like you're expelling the ochel from the psolas. If I have a casing of psolas around ochel, and I break it open, I apply pressure and break it open, so it looks like we're expelling the ochel from the psolas. But if I have ochel that's encased by psolas, and all I do is I just peel the psolas off, and memela, the ochel is revealed, so that's not called disgorging. That's not called expelling the ochel from the psolas. And so that's going to not satisfy Rashi's concept in Melachas Dash. So as Miles is trying to do, we're trying to make Rashi l'shitaso. We're going back to Rashi's original concept in dash. If dash is about expelling the ochel from the psolas, so you have to be breaking open the cheftz of ochel. You have to be breaking it open in order for us to view it like you're expelling it. So that would be the lumdus behind the shita of Rashi. With that, we've included qualifications 1 and 2. Okay. So let's move over now. Any last questions? We're good? Fine. Let's move over now to qualification number 3 to round out the discussion. Our third qualification is the Gemara on Daf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. Starts with the Gemara there on Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara there brings a Tosafta, which discusses the following issue. Let's say you have the Chilazon on Shabbos, and you decide to squeeze out the blood of the Chilazon, let's say because you want to make Tchilas. So you capture the Chilazon, and in your Potseya, you squeeze out the blood of the Chilazon on Shabbos. Is that a problem or not? Is that a violation of Melachas Dash? So this is a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda versus the Rabbanan. Starting with the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says that this is going to violate dash. If you squeeze the chilazon, you squeeze the blood out of the chilazon, you're extracting the blood from the chilazin, you're removing a type of ochel, a type of desired material from something that you don't want. And so that will be a violation of malachas dash. That's the shita of Rabbi Huda. Whereas the Rabbanan argue and say that no, in this case, you're not going to violate dash. If you squeeze the blood of the chilazon, you don't violate dash. Why don't you violate dash? Says Rava, we're going to have now our third qualification to malachas dash. Ein disha ella ligidule karaka. Malachas dash is limited to items that are associated with the ground. Malachas dash doesn't apply to items that are not associated with the ground. Since the chilazon comes from the sea, and it doesn't come from the ground, therefore it is excluded from malachas dash. There's no issue in squeezing out the blood on Shabbos. So this is now our third qualification to dash. Ein disha ella ligidule karka. Yeah, Miles.
How do you learn the shita of Rabbi Huda?
How do you learn the shita of Rabbi
Huda? That he holds that you could have dash on ligidule karka, or that...
Is it just the tolda? You're trying to just
no,
the tolda?
No, when Rabbi Huda says that you're high for two things, does he learn that chilazon is ligidule karka, or...
No, Pasha's... No, it's not ligidule karka. He's saying dash is not limited to ligidule karka, yeah. Yeah, fine. Now, the question is, what exactly is the definition of gedula karka? What do we mean when we say that dash is limited to items that are associated with the ground? So this is where Tosis and Daf Ein Gimel Amabez comes up. Tosis raises an issue that's going to force us to sharpen our definition. Tosis is bothered by a Gemara on Daf Tarihei Amid Aleph. Gemara on Daf Tarihei Amid Aleph is the Gemara we've discussed a few times, and now we'll just finish off a new angle to that Gemara. Murder tells us that there's an Isser Deraisa to milk a cow on Shabbos, that the Cholev is Chayev. What's the Malacha for milking a cow? Says the Gemara Mefarik, you're going to violate the Malacha of Mefarik. The question is, what's the Malacha of Mefarik? What Malacha are you violating at the end of the day when you milk a cow? So there's a big discussion in the Rishonim on this issue, but now we're going to focus in on one of the mainstream Shitos, which is the Shita of the Rambam and the Shita of Rashi. Rashi there on the spot, and the Rambam from the Marmakomos and Ches Zayin both explain that this is going to fit under the malacha of dash. That when you milk a cow, you're extracting the milk from the udder. You're removing this milk, this desired ochel, from the psolos of the udder. That fits under the malacha of dash. That's the shita of Rashi and the Rambam. Comes along Tosos, an Ein Gimel on a vase, and Tosos is bothered. How can you tell me that milking a cow is subject to malachas dash? What happened to qualification number 3 of Ein Disha Ella Ligidule Karka? Dash is limited to items that are associated with the ground. Doesn't apply to items that are not Gedule Karka. Well, a cow is not Gedule Karka, just like the Chilazon is not Gedule Karka, and so therefore it should be excluded from Malachas Dash. That's the Kasha that Tosas asks on Rashi and the Rambam. So the question now becomes, how do we defend Rashi and the Rambam? What's the point of contention between Tosos versus Rashi and the Rambam? So anyone want to give us an analysis of this machlokas?
I mean, I would say according to Tosfos, that Gedule Karka is something that literally grows from the ground, whereas according to Rashi and the Rambam, Gedule Karka can include anything that at least derives its nourishment.
Excellent. That's excellent. That's the analysis of the Magen Mishnah. So the analysis of this machlokas gets into what is the definition of Gedule Karka. I was using a vague term that it's associated with the ground. That's what Gedule Karka means. But now we need to roll up our sleeves and set down rigid definitions to explain what's going on in this machlokas. So as Max had put it, starting with the sheet of Tosos, Tosos holds that Gedule Karka means something that grows from the ground. That Gedule Karka means it grows from the ground. That's the limitation of Dash. It doesn't apply to things that don't grow from the ground. So Tosos is asking, just like the Chilazon doesn't grow from the ground, and so it's excluded from dash, so to a cow, it doesn't grow from the ground, and therefore it's excluded from malachas dash. So that is Shitas Tosfos. Gedule Karka means growing from the ground. What's the Shita of Rashi and the Rambam? So the Rambam, as explained by the Magen Mishnah, is holding that Gedule Karka doesn't mean to grow from the ground, it means to be nourished from the ground. Gidul min ha-karka. It's gidul, it's nourished from the ground. That's the Shita of the Rambam. And so therefore, it comes out like this, that when it comes to the chilazon, being a marine creature, is nourished from the sea. It doesn't get its nourishment from the ground, it gets its nourishment from the sea. That's why it's excluded from malachas dash. When it comes to a cow, although a cow is not growing from the ground, it's nourished from the ground, it's eating grass and vegetation, that's how it's sustained, therefore it is considered to be gedule karka, and it is subject to malachas dash. So we're now developing a chakira now to refine the definition of gedulei karka. Qualification number three, dash is limited to gedulei karka. What is gedulei karka? Tosis is saying it's things that grow from the ground. Rambam and Rashi is saying that it's things that are nourished from the ground. Chananya. Yeah.
So I know that was in Kotzer that we discussed this, but the Rambam or gedulei karka or being attached to karka is something different.
So that was that Kotzer, but we're.
It seems like she tells us that what is considered attached to the ground is something that gains nourishment. Versus the Rambam who says that someone who's just attached to the ground.
Okay, so you could make connections, but again, Kotzer and Dash in terms of this issue are different malachas, and that Kotzer, there was an issue of disconnecting. We use the word connection. By quotes, are you correct? It was had to be connected to the ground.
In order to define
being connected to the ground, so Rashi and Rambam had different definitions there. Here we're in Malachas Dash. There's a new qualification called Gidulei Karka. It doesn't have to follow the same rules of quotes there. This is just what do we mean by Gidulei Karka? Is it?
But in that same Rashi of Dash, Rashi entertains the fact that by all of it could be quotes, but there's no quotes about.
But it's not mechubar. So Ellie asked that question last week. It was a very good question, but. It's too complicated right now. Yeah. So Yosef is asking, aren't there Gemaras that say that animals are gedulei karka? So this is exactly what Tosfos is doing. If you go through Tosfos and on Gilgamesh base, there are Gemaras in different areas of halacha that are, you know, discussing whether animals are called gedulei karka or not. So this chakir is really a broad chakir. Now, whenever we get to different areas of halacha, you always have to ask, does gedulei karka mean growing from the ground? Or nourished from the ground. So in this area of Hilchos Shabbos, that's that machlokus. In other areas, so sometimes animals are, sometimes they're not, depending on which definition you go with. I just want to move on. Zach.
Is the seafloor not considered karka?
Is the seafloor not considered karka? So we're not calling it karka for Hilchos Shabbos purposes. Yeah. Fine, let me just move on a little bit. It's a good question. Now, there's a major nafkamina in this machlokus, which has very far-reaching ramifications. We'll just touch on the ramifications, but afterwards, if God's want to discuss, we'll discuss more. But let's just get the basic yesod out. And that is in terms of the malach of chavola. The Mishnah of Zion of Adalav tells us that there's an iser deraisa to be chovel an animal on Shabbos. Chavola is where you draw blood, you wound an animal on Shabbos, a balchai on Shabbos. That is one of the malachos on Shabbos. The big question becomes, what malacha do you violate when you do an act of chavala? Which of the lam tes malachos does chavala fit under? So this is machlokes Tosfos versus the Rambam. Starting with the shita of Tosfos. So Tosfos there on Kuf Zayin says, if it's under the malacha of Netilas Neshama. Netilas Neshama is shochet, is when you shecht an animal, when you take life on Shabbos. Anytime you take the life of a living being, so that fits under the malacha of Netilas Neshama. Says Tosfos, when you draw blood from a living being, you're taking away some of its life force. That is the violation of Netilas Neshama. That's the shita of Tosfos. The Rambam, however, argues on Tosfos. If you saw the Rambam from the Maror Mekomos, the Rambam says in Ches Zayin that being chovel, when you draw blood, when you cause an injury, so that fits under the malacha of Dash. You're extracting the blood from the blood vessels, and so that fits under the malacha of Dash. So Machlokes now Tosfos versus the Rambam. What's the malacha of Chavala? Is it Netilas Neshama like Tosfos? Is it Dash like the Rambam? Anyone want to give us a hezbin this machlokas to connect it into our discussion in qualification number three? Let's give someone else a chance quickly. Yair? In that? Tosfos.
If you do it to an animal, that gets the nourishment.
Good, right. Good. So just to plug it in other words, Tosfos and the Rambam are going to be l'shitaso. Tosfos held that what's gedulei karka in Hilchos Dash? Dash is limited to things that grow from the ground. And so just like Tosfos had said that a cow is not subject to Dash because it doesn't grow from the ground, so to being chovel any balchai, when you wound a balchai and draw blood, that can never be Dash because a balchai, a living being, doesn't grow from the ground. And so Tosfos l'shitaso had to conclude that the malacha of chavala is some other malacha. It can't be dash, because it doesn't grow from the ground. It must be something else. And Tosfos concluded was Netilas Neshama, that listen, you're taking away some of its life force, that's going to be Netilas Neshama. Whereas, according to the Rambam holds that what does a gedulei karka mean with regard to dash? It means being nourished from the ground. Well, just like the cow is nourished from the ground, so it's subject to dash, so to any baal chai, any living being, is nourished from the ground, so it's subject to dash. Now, I just want to end with two quick nafkaminas in this machlokas by chavala. Ultimately, this plays a role into issues like pulling teeth on Shabbos, certain interesting halachic issues, but let's just get the groundwork for it, and then we can hack it out afterwards. So just two quick nafkaminas in this machlokas. Nafkamina number one. Let's say you have an animal that's dead, and you, for whatever reason, you draw blood from the animal. You hit the animal, you had a really bad day in the morning seder, so you want to take out your frustration on the animal. You draw some blood. Would that violate the malacha of chavala? Does anyone want to plug that into this machlokas, Tosis versus Rambam? Let's say there's a dead animal, and you hit the animal, and you draw blood. Anyone else a chance? Anyone else want to give it a shot? Yeah. I know. Would you be chayav for chavala? There's a dead animal, and you hit it, and you draw some blood on Shabbos.
I say, according to Tosos, you're not because it's already dead.
Right.
According to the
Rambam, it's Dasha. Right. You know? Exactly. So, according to Tosos Shashita, if chavala is Natilas Neshama taking life, well, that's all good and well when it's alive. But when the animal is dead, and you draw the blood out, you're not taking any life, that would not be a problem of the malacha of chavala. Whereas according to the Rambam, if dash is defined as extraction, if chavala is extraction, it's malacha's dash, so even when it's dead, you're extracting the blood from the blood vessels, that should be a violation of malacha's dash. That is nafkamina number one. Nafkamina number two. There are some people who are diabetics, and anyone here might know, so a diabetic has to check their blood on a regular basis. Even on Shabbos, it's considered to be a sakana. And the way they check their blood is they prick themselves to draw the blood, and then they test their blood sugar level. Now, obviously, if there's any sakana, anything can be permissible on Shabbos. I'm just giving this as a mashal. But so certainly, you know, most things end up being permissible. But assuming that there'd be some kind of case where there's no sakana, so would it be permissible for a person to prick himself, or would there be an issue of malachas chavala, a person would prick himself and draw blood on Shabbos? Can anyone see how that's going to be a nafkamina between Tosfos versus the Rambam? At least the severity, whether you have a full-fledged issue deraisa of chavala, a person would just prick himself and draw a little bit of blood. Yeah?
I mean, I see according to Tosfos that will be considered a tefillas neshama, but even according to the Rambam, is a person considered being nourished from the ground?
Yeah, person nourished from the ground.
Herbivores.
I mean, this week, during the 9 days, we are...
Some of us
should
have friends that are making
seal. Yeah. Sushi
tomorrow. Yeah. So I would say, according to Tosos, that's the teal's the shama, so you have to look at the shiurim. That if you're taking out a small...
Good. And the Rambam?
It doesn't matter how much, but if it's dodged, then you have the shiur.
Exactly. So... It goes like this. According to the sheet of the Rambam, according to the sheet of Tosfos, the malacha of chavala is Netilas Neshama. Netilas Neshama has no shear. There's any time you take a life, that's Netilas Neshama. You kill the smallest creature in the world, it's Netilas Neshama. If taking blood is called taking life, that'll be Netilas Neshama. And so according to Tosfos, there'll be a full-fledged violation midereisa in this situation. For a blood test, for even a shot, let's say, a person has to get a shot on Shabbos, and it's going to draw some blood, and it'll be a psik resha. So according to Tosfos, that would be a full-fledged Isser De'araisa. And let's assume you want the blood, so it's constructive, it's Rich Legufa. Obviously, once again, any sakana is perfectly permissible, it's a mitzvah to do, but I'm just, conceptually, just appreciate how to break down these big shilas that the poskim get. You have to know how to break down a shilah. So what malach is involved in giving a shot on Shabbos, and taking blood on Shabbos, doing a blood test on Shabbos? Netilas Neshama. Netilas Neshama has no shear, it would be a full-fledged malach De'araisa. According to the Rambam, if the malach is dash, so the Rambam spells out, my Gemisha spells out in the Rambam also, that once it's dash, the shear is a grogeris. You need to have a minimum shear of a dried fig. And typically, in these types of blood tests, you may not draw the blood of a grogeris, in which case, it would not be a violation midareisa. Now that you get into the abundance of chatzi shear, things like that, but there's definitely pash that's not going to be a full-fledged malacha deraisa, and so you always get more room to be makel when you're in that type of sphere of severity. So that's just an interesting second nafkamina in this machlok. So let's just quickly sum up, and then we'll take questions after this year. So just to sum up, we had three qualifications to malachas dash. Our first two qualifications came out of the sugya and beitza, yigil malaveis. Why was it mutter to peel the barley? Why is it different than malila? Tosis of Rosh Hashanah or Moshe is saying limits the psolus out in the field. Dash doesn't apply to psolus that you leave until your home. Rashi was saying it's the chilek in the maisa that is limited to applying pressure. It doesn't apply to peeling. We tried to give a hesber behind both of these qualifications. And Tosis, the Orech HaShabbos, explained that dash is not just about sanitizing, but it's more than that. It's about converting and completing the formation of a chefs of ochel. That was the sheet of Tosfos. Whereas in Rashi, we explain that Rashi would seem to be l'shitoso, that if dosh is about expelling the ochel, it's about disgorging, so that would be limited to applying lachas to breaking it open. But if you just peel off the psolos and then the ochel is just exposed, so that's not called disgorging the ochel from the psolos. Qualification three was indisha ella l'gedulei karka. It's limited to things that are associated with the ground, not the chilazon. What's the definition of gedulei karka? Tosas versus the Rambam. Tosas is saying it has to grow from the ground. Rambam is saying it has to be nourished from the ground. And we had the major nafkamina is the malacha of chavala. What malacha do you violate in chavala? According to Tosas, it's the malacha of Tzilas Hashama. Can't be dash because it doesn't grow from the ground. A person, a living being, doesn't grow from the ground. According to the Rambam, it can be dash because it's nourished from the ground. And there are major sub-nafkaminas in this machlokes. So we pointed out two of them. One is if you draw blood after something is dead, would that be an issue of Chavala? According to Tosas, there's no Tzilas Hashama, but you are extracting, you're doing an act of dash, according to the Rambam. And second afkamina was, what if you draw blood that's less than a grogeris, a small amount of blood for a blood test, a shot, etc. According to Tosos, any minimal amount is Tzilas Hashama, whereas according to the Rambam, there's a shear of a grogeris. This also plays into pulling teeth on Shama, so it gets into this machlokas as well, but that's beyond the purview of this discussion, so we can discuss this afterwards. Shkayach.
That Rashi holds that the Tzias Chilazon is a form of Melila.